Ever wondered how a book gets made into a movie?
Or how to master the art of cooking?
Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef.
On our podcast, we're going to be serving you a fresh perspective of the entertainment industry alongside our favorite celebrity guests.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
All right, guys. It is another draft. I can't get enough. No, really, I've been eyeing this Drafters Best Ball Championship. It's rapidly filling up. It's already four-fifths of the way full. Davis, when do you think this bad boy fills? One day, 2 days?
Probably like tomorrow afternoon, I would guess. And they will, I mean, I would hope they would launch a better one, maybe 12 teams or maybe just more money. But like, because I know I was chatting to, I actually don't even know, I have no idea who runs the site, but I was chatting with their corporate account via DM when I was trying to hustle out a deposit bonus. And, They told me that they were planning on doing. And I was like, you know, you guys should go big. And obviously, they're not trying to run themselves out of money here at the beginning. But I think they will be encouraged by these results.
Yeah, I'm guessing that was Zach. Zach is a good dude. You if you think you're precocious, Davis, Zach running Drafters is like 23 years old. The kid has his life together. So yeah, shout out to Zach for getting this tournament going.
Shout out, Zach.
And it would be fun if they could get ramp it up again too. I mean, he has to be pretty excited about how quickly this is filled. It's always a risk when you're putting up guaranteed.
I mean,
money.
Certainly, I think he had to have been sweating at filling at all. Otherwise, you know what I mean?
Yeah. So if you guys, we are registered in the lobby. Basically, it's just rolling drafts. Every 10 people that fill, they kick off another draft. It looks like we got space for 8 more. If you guys want to come and draft with us, the pleasure would be all ours. Davis knows the deal. We just hemorrhage value by talking about which picks we want. You can snake us. It's just a grand old time, Davis.
Except the key is you have to draft in such a counterintuitive way, like only maximizing your uniqueness factor, that it doesn't even matter.
It doesn't even matter. How many of these have you done, the big championship one?
I think I've done 5 of them. They're like not quite as easy to grind as the draft app was. Like it's just a little bit like the clicking around is just not quite as clean. And I have my burgeoning online poker addiction that I have to take care of when I'm not working. So, but I like the format. I like the fact that there are extra roster spots relative to what there was with draft, because that means you can go 3 quarterbacks, 3 tight ends in every draft and not feel like you're leaving points on the table. And I don't hate the 10 team element either, because you know, you really are just, it's like sick. You can just build whatever stacks you want.
Yeah, it is really conducive to stacking. And when you have to wait, you know, if you're on the turn and you have to wait, you know, 23 some picks until you're up next, I mean, some of the stacking gets really difficult, but in these 10 teamers, it's very viable and you don't even have to reach that much.
Yeah, you're not sweating it that hard, you know, and if there is a late round quarterback you like, whether that be Teddy Bridgewater, whether that be Dwayne Haskins, whether it be Gardner Minshew, you are a lock to get that guy, because you can just take him in the 15th round or whatever. He's there 100% of the time. And so that's one. And then you assume that there's one more expensive quarterback you like, and you just kind of, you do that in the beginning of the draft based off, okay, am I taking Amari? Am I taking DeAndre Hopkins? Am I taking Devontae Adams, Michael Thomas? Like they're just very easy ways to build them out.
And how are you thinking about, I mean, this is the epitome of a top heavy payout structure.
Very, literally only matters to get first. Yeah.
Yeah. It's Millie Maker style here. Everybody's on stacking. Are you thinking of any other kind of super fragile strategies to get really unique, or just trying to get those stacks?
So I have not implemented many of these yet. I just did one. I'm wondering what you think of this. I took Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt and Baker Mayfield and Austin Hooper. And like, so what, that's 5 roster spots dedicated to the Browns. But the more interesting part there is taking both Hunt and Chubb, which is I mean, that's a super cost intensive strategy, obviously. That's two of your first six picks. And I kind of like that. I thought another thing that might make sense for this format is just taking four running backs, right? So you're like, okay, I'm taking a running back with four of my first six picks, then I'm completely ignoring the position and I'm like double stacking every quarterback I have. I'm taking four tight ends and just being like, look, if my four running backs stay healthy, then I'm going to get there. Like sort of like robust RB, but without taking, you know, Tony Pollard and Chase Edmonds and those guys as well.
Yeah, I actually wouldn't mind trying that depending on what draft slot we get. I guess the only thing I would say is I would maybe be a little more comfortable doing the three running backs and then maybe getting one more, just because that fourth running back you'd be taking early is probably a pretty gross running back.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that is that. That's, I mean, that's why the strategy feels gross, because you're not going to feel good about like Marlon Mack as your fourth guy or whatever.
Yeah. I mean, I was saying to Core, I think my ideal start for that, if you did do the hyper fragile three running backs, it's getting one of those top three or four backs. You grab like Eckler in the second and then CEH in the third, I think would be my preferred way to do it.
That's another thing, because this is 10 teams and the depth is like a little bit better. I actually think you can take Lamar and Mahomes in this in like the second or third round and be like, you know, whatever, like this is not a super losing strategy, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. And if I'm reaching on those guys, I definitely want to make sure I do have a premium stack, since that'll be more unique. So I think Andrews and Lamar Jackson is very viable and is getting Marquise Brown. And then I guess, so Kelsey and Hill have been going around the 1-2 turn. So you could theoretically get those two. And then what are the chances McCombs comes back to you in the late third?
In the late third, it probably won't happen, but it can happen. Like if you pick, like if you're with like the fourth pick of the third round or whatever, like you can kind of build around that as your strategy. I think that's, but again, you know, I haven't done like 500 of these, like I would have done last summer.
Yeah. Looks like we got two more spots. Hop in here and draft with us so we can get this bad boy underway. Yeah. I wanted to get a few more of these in the holster, because they are, they're super fun to draft. And yeah, I wouldn't be opposed to, obviously, depending on our draft spot, of messing around with a more fragile strategy, that three running back start, or doing a true zero RB. Have you done a true zero RB yet?
No, I don't do. So I actually, in these, I will take, Derrick Henry. I will take Joe Mixon, like Aaron Jones, like those guys, because in a 10 team, I don't actually think you're losing that much at wide receiver, because you can still get, you know, two of DJ Moore, DJ Shark, Terry McLaurin, Juju Smith-Schuster, like those guys, like you're still getting AJ Brown, like two guys you really, really like.
Okay. Well, we are picking right in the middle, pick
Stonehurst.
Yeah. Okay, I don't like this. Daily Rojo, is this you, Karain? Are you in this?
No, I've seen that guy in some of these.
Okay.
And our boy, Eric Belair.
Eric is always in my drafts. Love to see it. I recognize a couple of these names. John Boy Beat sounds familiar. All right, so let's talk strategy at pick six. Obviously, this is... Wait, Pat, is that you really, Daily Rojo? Goodness.
If it might be him, but if so, then that means I've been in a couple others with Pat, which is whatever.
Yeah. Okay. So let's talk through this sixth slot, pretty gross Kelsey. Spot. Yeah. So do you do Kelsey over Michael Thomas? If he's there?
In a 12 team, I would take Michael Thomas in this. I think we're taking Kelsey for sure to me.
Yeah. I mean, I don't mind it. I'm big on getting one of the elite tight ends. I don't really mind if that is Kelsey, Kittle, or Andrews. I have so much Andrews that I actually kind of want to diversify a little bit. The reason it's hard to get off Andrews is because he's so palatable as a, you know, a cost. Because I've been seeing him like late third, even mid fourth in some of these.
I mean, in this, theoretically, we could take Derrick Henry six. We could take Lamar Jackson in the second round, Mark Andrews in the third, and that would be close to all of their ADP.
Yeah. Yeah, this will be interesting. I feel like it's very draft dependent. If this is Pat at the four hole, it'll be interesting to see what he does. The other kind of big decision point in this range is just where you end up standing on Dalvin Cook, because he could be there as well.
I think we take Dalvin Cook if he's there. He's not going to hold out, and the season's not happening anyway. So the decisions we're making here are very whatever anyway.
Yeah.
Do we avoid that negativity on this program?
Yeah, this is we're going to try to be positive today. It's a Sunday afternoon. You know, we're all defanged. You know, when we congregate midweek, you know, tensions are running high. We're all ready to kill each other, but I'm feeling pretty chill on this Sunday.
Yeah, I mean, we had some good golf on TV. I just hit some balls at the range. You know, we're hanging out.
What was that? Who ended up winning the golf?
Colin Morikawa. Just no fear from the young man.
Was he a betting fave?
I think he was like 30-1 or something like that. He made like 22 of the first 23 cuts of his pro career. The slappies love him though. Like he's kind of like the Derrick Henry of PGA DFS. The slappies love Colin Morikawa.
Yeah. Yep. Slappies is a good term. Does that come from golf Twitter?
No, that comes from angry DFS Slack chats of people being mad when fish win. When the fish win, they're slappies. Like, that's a slappy pick.
Yeah. Okay, so Pat goes Kamara. We are one away. So we will definitely have one of... Okay, Cook goes. So it's down to our MT or Kelsey decision.
Kelsey for me, but...
No, I like it. I don't have a ton of Kelsey. I don't have him in any of these, so let's do it. I like getting that elite tight end. And like you said, it doesn't prevent us from grabbing another tight end as well if we feel like it.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you should take three tight ends and three quarterbacks in this, like almost universally. So
do you think if you started Kelsey, Kittle, I don't necessarily know.
If you took Kittle, then maybe not. But if you take Tyler Higbee, I still think you should take a third tight end.
Yeah. Well, Higbee's like half of a tight end, so you need to get another
but
half.
Is he though? I don't know. I took Higbee in the Scott Fishbowl, and now I've been like in this weird loophole of like trying to convince myself that he's good now.
The disparity of how people view him, like you've seen the screenshots, right, from the FBG boards where he's gone in the third round?
Yes. Yeah.
And then, in the Scott Fishbowl, it was like after all of, you know, Twitter kind of like beat it up that discussion, then all of a sudden he was a huge value.
Yeah. And it's just one of those things where literally anyone who says that they know, like, doesn't know. Cause like it's all down to an organizational decision with Sean McVay. Like, are they going to play more 12 personnel or are they going to play Josh Reynolds a shit ton and no one knows?
Yeah, I want to draft a player that is named Darren Higbee, and I get first half production from Darren Waller and second half from Tyler Higbee. That's the number one overall tight end right there.
I can't argue with that logic. Waller is a dude I feel pretty comfortable with the fade on to be 100. I don't think I'm going to get burnt on not playing that on not drafting a ton of that guy.
Yeah, I need a round and a half discount on him to even consider it. But yeah, it's and again, there's just that's where Waller's being drafted. There's so many good wide receivers in that range too. It's just really hard to pull the trigger there. I like Belair's draft here at the turn. Tyreek Hill, Kittle, very nice there. So we're two picks away here. It does seem like depending what XM does here. You have been seeing Miles Sanders go a lot earlier. What do you think about Miles here?
Oh yeah. That's he's on the board for us here.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's easy. I mean, I think he's in consideration where we picked at six.
That's where I've been seeing him go. So I was actually kind of surprised. I think, even though I normally don't go tight end running back, I think this one makes sense.
Pretty off brand to start. But, I mean, I of course love getting the you love to get a running back in the first two rounds that you like, because then you can just feel fine, like you're like, whatever, I'll ignore this position until round eight, and you're pretty fine with that.
And that's the thing about Sanders is this is a fair price in my opinion, after Mixon goes, after Chubb, after Julio. But it's when guys have been drafting him at the 105 106 where it's like, okay, all the upside is priced out.
Yeah, I mean, he just straight up at that point, he's got to be the man. And if he's not the man, then like if you're getting a 50-50 with him in Boston, Scott, you're just like you've cucked yourself.
Speaking of cucking yourself with this Eagles backfield, I did acquire Miles Sanders in a dynasty trade earlier this offseason, and I started to get a little spooked about Boston Scott. So I made a trade to get Boston Scott.
Oh, super, my gosh.
I gave up Mariota and Superflex straight up for Boston Scott.
You went like full, like that's like a counselor strategy. To be like, I gotta get the whole backfield.
The thing is I like Boston Scott in a vacuum. And then I was like, I also want to insulate myself, from Miles Sanders if he goes down. Cause I'm less worried, you know, I'm not trying to win a 1000 person dynasty tournament. It's just a 12 teamer. So I don't mind raising my floor.
So this is a take I have. I actually think there's a chance that it could be not optimal, but like a fine strategy at equilibrium to have entire handcuff backfields in best ball. I think it really limits your upside in, you know, regular 12 team leagues or whatever, but I think it's kind of fine in best ball.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't mind it. I don't, in the 12 teamers, it's not something I'm interested in going out of my way to do in this big one. What do you think about going Mahomes, Davis? Should we do it?
Yeah. I mean, we have Kelsey. Didn't we kind of think that was roughly the plan?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of wide receivers we like, but we're going to just be able to hammer wide receivers after this.
Yeah. So we take Mahomes, and then, you know, for everyone watching this, obviously we're going to be looking at Mecole Hardman in like round 9 to get the double.
Come on, Davis. We got to at least, you know, not telegraph it that much.
The people, they deserve the right to know.
Yeah, well, also reserve the right to know that then we will reach for Sammy Watkins by 4 rounds if we don't get Mecole Hardman.
Dude, imagine being in the Scott Fishbowl, taking Patrick Mahomes with your first round pick, and the only way to close your loop is with Sammy Watkins.
Oh my goodness! See, that's what we call stacking gone bad.
It's one of the worst EV picks I think I've ever made. I bet. Let's, you know what, we should go look. I'm gonna go look on the Scott Fishbowl app right now and see if I was the first person to take.
Yeah, you have to be up there. Let's see. Let's check in on Pat's team here. What is Daily Roger done? Kamara, CEH, and DJ Moore.
We'll very see what... very high T start from Pat.
Yeah, Pat, man. He's a zero RB guy until, you know, the money is on the line.
It's like Leone is a zero RB guy until we start getting in drafts. And then he's like, well, you got to get a running back, dude.
I know. Well, the FFPC settings really mess with your head because
it really messes with your head in that. Cause you're like, what, I'm going to pay $1,700 for a team and then have Nyheim Hines is like starting at running back. Like I can't do that.
Yeah. Okay, here, Davis, we're up in 2 picks. Definitely some wide receivers I like here. Where are you? Are we doing AJ Brown or Ridley?
Easier to close a stack with AJ Brown. Tannehill goes like 4 rounds after Matt Ryan.
Yeah, let's do it.
And Jonnu goes in like the 11th round too.
Yeah. And, you know, it's hot wide receiver summer. And a big part of that is just drafting AJ Brown every chance you get.
You know it.
So of course, Ridley goes right after us. Pat gets, Mark Andrews in the 4th, which is, of course, very nice. Let's check in on Belair's lineup. I forget what he did there at the turn.
Eric, oh, low-key, pretty good at fantasy.
He is. He knows what he's doing there. Juju, A-Rob, Hill, and George Kittle. Very nice start. Oh, God. I forget this every time. Go to the grid view, Peter. Okay. Let's see here. Paid crisis actor takes Waller over Andrews. Wow. Yeah, I didn't even notice that. Wow. That is my burner account, Peter50531. I get into every draft. I kind of Jaden Tanner it just to, you know, help my teams. Okay. So we are going to continue to hammer wide receiver here. Is there anything that could even possibly get you off of another wide receiver?
Ertz? If James Conner was there,
he is.
I would take James Conner in the 5th.
And I'm getting squeezed on James Conner from both you and Pat. I feel like I'm having to put up the defense on both sides.
We are not afraid of Benny Snell. What's our running back situation? Give me the scroll down.
We got Gurley, Connor, Lev, Gordon.
Yeah, Carson. I take Carson or Connor here. I think that's my inner high T speaking.
I will say though, although Pat took two, but between Pat, myself, Eric, I feel like the ethos of this draft room is pretty wide receiver heavy. I feel like these running backs are off the board earlier in a lot of drafts.
Yeah, I think that's probably fair. And you know, also the kinds of people that are drafting best ball drafts in July are going to be the kinds of people that understand the upside in loading up on wide receivers in a format where you just get to pick the best scores.
Yeah. We go in as asking for a shorter clock. I think we just have to be the change that we want to see in the world. Thank you for taking James Conner, J-Line. I love you so much.
I mean, I'll stand for Carson here too, though.
We hitting Chark, right?
Or yeah, I can't say no to Chark.
Yeah. Let's do it. Okay.
Okay. That's a good start.
This is a sick team.
And those are the hidden upside in taking guys like Shark, like Brown, like Thielen. Even Odell Beckham is the cheap cost of their stack completers.
Yeah. Yep. Tannehill, Minshew.
And secret, LaVisca Chenault is like hidden in this app. He's like way, way, way down. So his ADP is like 30 spots lower on this app specifically compared to every other fantasy football format out there.
Yeah, that generally would be very true, but we're in a draft that's filled with Chenault truthers. He'll probably go in the 12th round.
I can't believe that. Like, I've been thinking about this the other day. Pat said that Chenault might end up being one of the all-time draft values, and there's like a real chance that he doesn't beat out Chris Conley day one. So it's just like, I like to believe it, and I tend to sway Pat's direction on most things, but like a lot of that is projecting Chenault to beat out capable NFL wide receivers and also be like potentially the goal line back for them.
Yeah. I mean, I think the thing about Chenault, there's certainly risk and unknowns, but it's just, if you, from a 10,000 foot overview of where he was drafted with his prospect profile, the situation he's going into, where he was going in rookie drafts and now in season long drafts, is just not reflective of that profile.
Correct. Yeah. And Like, for example, I think there is a huge gap between perception of Chenault and Reagor, and I think they're super similar.
And think about this. People in these season-long drafts have been more willing to draft Ayuk earlier, you know, 13th round, you know, coming off, they're being a little aggressive. I mean, Chenault was already in the situation that Ayuk inherited after Deebo got hurt.
Yes. Yeah, correct. I mean, Chenault, theoretically, the target tree in Jacksonville should be Shark, Chenault, and then it's like, because Westbrook is, I mean, he was a guy I really liked, but it's just like he's going to be a guy who can't stay healthy and kind of just is like a bit player for a lot of his NFL career. Conley is like nine routes only. Tyler Eifert is, you know, really, he's not even healthy. Oh, we're on the clock here.
Yeah, who's, I have a guy here. Who's yours?
What? Show me the running backs, though.
Oh God, that's the question I never want to hear. Show me the running backs.
So I think Akers and Hunt are fine here. What wide receiver do you want?
I like Diggs. And the stack potential still there too.
If I was drafting this one, I would take Akers, but I'm cool with Diggs here.
I want to skew to the guest. I'll do Akers. I don't have any shares of him here.
Yeah, okay. He actually goes a little bit earlier than this in the ones that I've done, so I don't have him yet in this either.
Okay. We can mess with that for sure. I would say now, though, we're probably hammering wide receiver for two or three picks again. As, of course, Daily Rojo, the snake in the grass, scoops up Diggs from out from underneath us.
You guys are just so dedicated to Sean that, like, you could never not want to tout Diggs here.
It's true. Pat, we have similar construction. One tight end. Oh, you don't have a quarterback. You have three wide receivers. We have two wide receivers and two running backs.
Well, another thing about not taking a wide receiver there is we have a wide receiver earmarked here at eight or nine that we are planning on filling.
Yes, our chips are on the table on that one. We have already revealed our strategy here. Let's see some of these other teams.
You know what? I revealed my entire strategy to everyone in my Scott Fishbowl league in terms of what I was going to do at running back, and then they left me all the guys I wanted. I went 4-for-4 of my queue not getting picked on Boston Scott, Chase Edmonds, Tony Pollard, Darrington Evans. They were all just there.
Yeah.
Cole Beasley went ahead of all four of those guys.
That is when zero RB goes right. When all of those guys are scrambling to fill out their wide receiver depth with just absolute scrubs, and you're picking up like high upside rookie running backs.
Evans could like low key be one of the guys who breaks fantasy football. Like he could be like the league winner. Cause he's like, well, he's like a good running back, but that it's not like they're going to turn into a pass heavy team. If Derrick Henry sprains his ankle, like it's like Darrington Evans is going to get fed. Cause they don't even have the David Flewellen is the third running. Like they don't even have another guy who you could be like, oh, that guy will play passing downs. Like it's just Darrington Evans.
Yeah. This is an interesting thing. So we've been checking in on Eric's and Pat's draft. Every other team has three running backs except Pat at 2, us at 2, and Eric at 1. Otherwise, the drafts are, as expected, a little boring.
These are high T drafts for sure.
This is a pretty bad run here. Some good wide receivers going off the board. Fuller, Boyd.
Yeah, Gallup going there is a dagger.
Let's see here. Okay, Marquise Brown goes. Here's the wide receivers. Where are you leaning?
I think I lean Kirk there.
Me too.
But that's a pretty big reach. What's tight end look like?
Tight end is Evan Ingram still there.
Yeah, see, like I think I prefer Ingram. Like Ingram's healthy upside to Christian Kirk, and that's a 30 pick ADP difference.
Yeah, let's do that. Ingram, that again now with running backs and wide, we're going to continue to have to kind of hammer wide receivers, but we've really taken care of.
Yeah, but you also kind of have to take what the room gives you. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like you can't be taking Darius Slayton in the 7th round just because of like your structural philosophy.
But the structure, it's all I have, Davis. I've never watched a second of game film in my life. The structure is all I have.
Well, you know.
Yeah, Josh says if it was the randomizer, the snakes would take all your picks. It is true. I get snaked more when I'm trying to draft bad than when I'm actually trying to win $10,000.
Who did TJ take when he had to draft a player suspended for weed?
Oh, my goodness. I don't know if that prompt came up or not. Oh,
dude. That was such a good and on-brand prompt.
It was. I know I've started to get a little more manipulative with the randomizer. In that, like, I'll add the really good prompts like multiple times to boost the odds of getting them. A little behind the scenes for how that randomizer sausage gets made. Kyler Murray goes off the board here in the late 7th. Did he get a stack? Nope. Just getting him. Eric Belair now is hammering some of these mid running backs. Carson Geis Jones. And Pat is right.
Imagine drafting Darius Geis, bro.
Okay, Dak Prescott goes, we are back. Kirk, we did lose Kirk. Where are you at here?
I think we just take Hardman. Like, yeah. I know it feels gross to like scroll and like take him over these other dudes, but we got to do it.
I think we got to wait one more, Davis.
So what, you want to take Landry?
So we're at pick 75 and he has an ADP of 121.
Okay, yeah, let's take Landry.
Okay. There you go, Pat. Another share of Landry. Here we go. The squad: Mahomes, Sanders, Akers, AJ Brown, DJ Chark, Landry, Kelsey, Ingram. This team's pretty rocked up.
Yeah, this is solid. Yeah, I like this start quite a bit. This is my first Mahomes team. We got the We have Kelsey. And look, we filled out our starting lineup. And then, you know, at the end of the day, that's like when you're going into a fantasy draft and you get through your first eight picks, what you're really trying to do is get the starting lineup filled out, Pete.
Yeah, you just want to feel, oh my God, Pat did a Higby. He just can't help himself.
Like, I wonder what like the historical math on the Higby breakout is. Like, is he the first ever fifth year tight end breakout? But like Pat's telling us, Gesicki's like drawing dead because he only kind of broke out as a second year player.
The thing is Pat really hasn't experienced Gesicki in the flesh like we have, so we do have to kind of cut some slack.
I mean, Devontae Parker was like impressive to as like a giant man, but Gesicki was something else.
He was like
the Loch Ness monster.
Yeah, and the image that Davis and I have is we were waiting to meet Laird after the game, and so we're in this kind of tent where all the players get to meet with friends and family, and so Gesicki's family got there, and they're all like just 6'2" or taller, every single one of them.
It was unreal. It was like a family of Ents.
Yeah, or just like this Viking family that we're all like cuddling around.
and that's really, I think that shows Pat's inexperience and his unwillingness to really scout the game, you know?
Yes. Yes. The boots on the ground were in full effect, on that day. Egan LaFire, I can't tell me, how do I pronounce your name? Egan LaFire says Watson Fuller stack.
Egan LaFire, like Jerome Ginla.
Oh, see,
okay. I think. Oh yeah. Calgary Flames. That's gotta be it.
Yeah, so that Fuller Watson stack,
and he grabs Cooks pretty early as well.
Yeah. Okay. Wow. Yeah, he went three picks in a row to lock up that stack. I'm trying to see any other interesting teams here. OSU kid, Zeke Eckler, Swift. Man, I don't know what to do with Swift, man.
He's the rookie running back that I feel most comfortable fading.
Yeah. Me too.
Well, because not only does he have to compete with Kerryon Johnson, but like he'll lose some passing downs to Huntley and or Ty Johnson.
Yeah.
They drafted a running back in the fifth round after they took Swift.
Yeah, that does not bode well. All right. Hardman falls. I'll give it to you. Give it to him here.
Yeah. At the end of the day, bro, it's about like the stacks in a format where we literally care about nothing other than getting first place. The stacks are more important.
Yeah. And we got someone in the chat just screaming Keyshawn Vaughn. Every one of his posts is just Vaughn, Keyshawn Vaughn. I mean, I guess one of us could take him. We got to see here, though. I don't know if he really fits our build so far.
So, okay, let's think about the quarterbacks that we want and look at where they go. Daniel Jones, because we could probably get Sterling Shepard and double it. Minshew late and Tannehill late. What are your thoughts on that group?
Yeah, I mean, my only thought has been just prioritizing the higher investment. You know, like if we take AJ Brown.
Oh,
as our,
yeah, yeah. Okay, that makes sense.
So like Tannehill and Minshew. But that said, we could do the old I don't mind that double with Ingram too, right? Because Ingram is kind of a make or break pick, right? If he stays healthy,
yeah, he's hurt. Yeah, right. So what we think, Sterling Shepard or Slayton here?
Or no, I mean, I would say, okay. Oh, yeah.
Or take Daniel Jones here.
So Daniel Jones has an ADP of 114. So he could potentially come back. We're not doing any of these running backs.
Slayton. So it'd have to be Slayton first. Or Shepard. Yeah, I mean, I prefer Shepard, but I think everyone in the world likes Slayton more.
I would prefer not to reach for one of those. Like, I'd rather lock up Daniel Jones, and then if you get one of those guys, then it's worth it.
Yeah, and Daniel Jones is like the quintessential upside guy too. Yeah,
let's
Daniel
do it.
Jones, I think.
How often everyone stacks? How often do you get the double stack with the tight ends? That's pretty unique.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's one of the ways that you can draft in these to try and be a little unique, like a little bit more unique, is try and build your stack with the tight end as opposed to the wide receiver.
Yeah, and you can. The nice thing about these stacks is, you know, both Kelsey and Ingram, they're legitimate paths to them being the number one target hog on their teams.
Yeah, I mean, Kelsey probably will. Kelsey will probably lead the Chiefs in targets.
Yeah. Let's see here. We got Team One in the chat. I'm Team One. My first tournament draft. Go easy on me. No, dude, we liked your.
Yeah, he got the double. He got the double stack. You're gonna be a little thin at tight end, but yeah, I like that team. And he can even take Brady here too.
Yeah, he could. Yeah, with Godwin, that would be a good pairing. And I am glad we grabbed Daniel Jones here because we just saw Wentz go. We saw Stafford. Matt Ryan goes. John Boy Beats doesn't have a quarterback here. I bet he grabs one. So I think the Jones call there was the right play.
Daniel Jones, baby.
And our team is pretty balanced here. I think we can probably maybe start to look at running back and wide receiver again.
Yeah, I mean, I know it's blasphemy, but I don't think Breida would be the worst.
I like Breida. Pat doesn't like Breida, so whenever I'm away from him, I got to get as many shares as possible.
Here's the thing. Jordan Howard is going to take the first carry for the Dolphins in week one.
Guaranteed.
I would take the under on him. Like first week, he doesn't have the first carry is like week four. I think it's just Jordan Howard is like, he's going to show up. He's going to seem good in practice, everything like that's fine. But he just doesn't make enough difference in games.
Yeah. And this is what I'll say. I think, see, this is how Pat tries to get back in our good graces. Saying Laird's going to steal the pass work. I mean, how can we argue with that?
I mean, I won't argue with it.
Well, my thought is, I think all of the Dolphins running backs are pretty intriguing at cost. They were in full on evaluation mode last year. I feel like they're going to be in evaluation mode again at the beginning of this year. And everyone knows that Breida is an incredible talent. And has that breakaway speed and the profile to really put up massive fantasy week. So that's just the bet I want to make when I'm choosing between Dolphins running backs that aren't named Patrick Laird.
Like literally taking Jordan Howard over Matt Breida in fantasy sports goes against everything I believe in.
Yeah. I mean, it's not even close.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Let's see. John Boy Beats playing chicken with quarterback. And I like
not good in this format, by the way. I feel pretty strongly about that.
Yeah, but I like J-Brug getting another stack there with the Brady Gronk turn.
Shepherd goes, so we're sweating out Slayton here.
Yeah. Let's see where.
Oh yeah, so our boy he goes he grabs Brady, then he grabs Gronk. The Brady Gronk stack, by the way. I mean, it could just be like that could be like 14 touchdowns. You know what I mean?
It definitely
like
could be.
Like if that works out, it's just going to be one of those like, why didn't we do that? Yeah, let's take Slayton here.
Let's do Slayton. Now we have two double stacks, and they're all like, dude, I kind of like this team because Slayton and Hardman and Ingram, like those are some of the most fragile high upside picks you can make.
Of course, obvious caveat here that you know, everyone loves their team in a 10-team league. Like that's the point.
But we're getting,
I mean,
palatable price points.
That's I like having the Mahomes sack quite a bit. I mean, not really going to be surprised if the Chiefs lead the NFL in points, and you know, of the two combo stacks, really wouldn't surprise me if Kelce and Mahomes end up being the best one. Sorry, David H. We missed Keyshawn Vaughn, bro.
How does it happen that we have the foremost Rojo and apparently the foremost Keyshawn Vaughn truther in our chat room here? All right, Davis, I think we probably need to get our guy Breida. What do you say?
I like Tevin here too. Either's fine with me.
Let's go Breida. He's got the higher ADP. And we can see who falls coming back to us.
By the way, I'm starting to really come around on Philip Lindsay as a zero RB guy, because if I'm going to be of the mindset that I'm not interested in drafting Melvin Gordon, which I'm not, you know, I think you got to be in on Lindsay, who's just done nothing but produce in his NFL career.
Yeah. Like if there, I have zero doubt in my mind that Philip Lindsay is really, really damn good at football.
Yes. Yeah. And I have like plenty of doubts on if Melvin Gordon is still good.
Yeah.
Or was ever good to be 100.
I mean, it is one of the reasons Lindsay's such a good pick is I legitimately think he could just win the starting job in
outright. Just play better and yeah. Yeah. I mean, he's done away with he beat out Booker, he beat out Freeman, who they, you know, they spent, like, Royce Freeman is a total afterthought, and they spent a third round pick on him.
Yeah. My guess, when Sean ends up doing his zero RB top guys, I'm going to guess he might end up having like a rookie like that sneaks in there, but I would bet Philip Lindsay's in the top three candidates.
Yeah, he was when I did my list. He was in there. He was in there for sure.
Well, we just talked him up way too much to the point he was not going to make it back to us. He goes there at pick 119.
Oh, his ADP is like 98. So,
I mean, structurally with two quarterbacks, three running backs, two tight ends, 2, 4, 5 wide receivers, we can really kind of do whatever we want here.
Yeah. I think we take what's our upcoming pick like overall?
126.
So I think we go running back. Tannehill should be our plan. And then our backup third stack option is Minshew.
Yeah, that's the thing. You guys can try to snipe us, but we got stacks on stacks on stacks. So you can't theoretically take them all. Did Baker Mayfield go? Yeah, no, we have the Baker stack too if we want it.
I'm not as big on that Landry Mayfield stack because I think it's like obviously less touchdown heavy, but it's also fine.
All right, we got Goddard off the board, some zero. This is a big zero RB run going here.
So I think we go, Tevin. Yeah. So let's see the running backs.
So I do like Zach Moss. I know you're not as into him.
Yeah, I prefer Henderson, but it's fine. Moss or Pollard for me?
Yeah, so Pollard's gone. Pat took Pollard. I say we do Moss, and then we can get Tanny here coming back. Because it is a little bit of a teardrop to these next zero RB guys.
I agree.
This was a brutal run right here.
This is like what happened in every Scott. Like once Alexander Mattison goes, he is the flagpole for you. Got all the zero IB guys go then Boston Scott, then Tony Pollard, then Chase Edmonds. Interesting to me that Tevin Coleman has not seen a massive jump in ADP after this Mostert thing.
Yeah. Here's a question for you from the chat. How do you guys feel about Njoku with the final pick? You think he gets his trade wish?
I just took him in the one I did. I did one while I was practicing putting at the golf course earlier. I was doing one of these and I took Njoku with my last pick.
Davis, every single story you tell involves just
doing something else.
Some incredible feat of multitasking.
Like, oh yeah, I was doing this thing and I was doing this other thing also. Yeah. Well, what can you do? This would be a real dagger. Yeah. Okay. We take Tannehill here, I think.
Yeah. Let's do it. The ADP lines up. Lines up
with Jonnu on the board as well, or has he been selected?
Jonnu is looks like he's gone, unless I missed it in my these ranks.
Yeah, I see him. He just went there. Yeah, 113.
Yeah. Let's see. Are there any? is Corey Davis just done? I mean, is he dead?
You know, there are some people out there that are, you know, still in on him. I'm not one of those people, but I see why a reasonable person could be like, look, you know, sometimes it takes these guys 5 years to break out.
Yeah. All right. Let's check in on Pat and Eric's teams. Daily Rojo. He's got his Josh Allen and Diggs and he got the John Brown. He's got the Teddy and DJ Moore. He started to build out his running backs, Pollard, Scott, and Mark Andrews and Higbee. It's a very solid squad. Good for him. I mean, Eric, he's got Wentz, who he stacked up with Ertz. He's got Garoppolo. Oh, he did the same thing with us, the double tight end stack. Very nice.
Big fan.
Right when I thought we had just come up with a unique thing of double stacking your tight ends, Belair is hot on our heels with the same strat.
Well, you know, he's a big fan of the show. Eric Belair is.
Eric Belair. See, what happens, Eric, is between you, me, Pat, Davis, like we're all forming this collective hive mind, which means we're all going to go down together, which will be a nice feeling.
Well, I mean, it is. I will say the massive proliferation of people realizing that you should be stacking is clearly not good for the game. It's like, you don't want that to be a thing.
I mean, it took, like, again, it made so much sense to me in DFS, but I never was really prioritizing it in season long, other than like the draft championship, you know, last year, where I completely understood it. But I, even in these FFPC leagues, I'm now thinking about it much more.
Yeah. I mean, you, like, at the very least, you'd like to have, if you are, especially if you're taking Dak, if you're taking Kyler, if you're taking Deshaun Watson, I think you should pretty heavily plan. B. Glaze, he was the Tate Cast winner of the spot in the Scott Fishbowl.
Oh, nice. Congrats.
Yeah.
We're good on quarterback, right?
We have three, so we can hammer.
So we got some of these zero RB guys getting a little thin there. We also got
Henderson for me.
You want to go Henderson?
Yeah. I've been Mike Clay just has kind of been making this point that, like, why are we just doing the same thing with Cam Akers that we did with Daryl Henderson last year, which is overdraft the rookie and underdraft the vet.
But I just realized we already have Akers and I just drafted him.
That's fine, dude. I was just talking about that being like a relatively decent strategy.
Yeah, but I still just feel like when you're doing that, you're capping your upside, because you want one of those things to hit. And then if it does, you want to free that pickup to try to hit on something else, right?
Yeah, I mean, I think that, like, there's certainly this idea that, you know, you have to hit on every roster spot in one of these leagues to win, and I don't think that's 100% true.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is you definitely do not want to reach for a handcuff. I mean, Henderson had already dropped, it looked like 20 spots based on his ADP, so
right.
And the thing that actually concerns me the most, and I know it concerns Pat, about Akers is just how little that the Rams threw to the running back position, which is just weird. So I just don't know if we can expect that to change or not.
Well, I mean, I personally think it's pretty, like, I think you can see that was definitely or you could explain it as part of the function of just Gurley's knees were so done. Like, Gurley was just not healthy enough to make the lateral movements needed to catch passes.
I think we should draft a rookie wide receiver. What do you think? We're in the 16th round.
So we're, yeah, I mean, I'm Team Chenault, you know, and that means Pat doesn't get him.
Exactly. I don't even care if we're having to reach. I just don't want Pat to get him.
I mean, what are in a 10-team league after round 15, there are zero reaches. You just take guys that you like.
Yeah. Although it's like, we do have the three quarterbacks all stacked up, but we do also now have both of the Jags pass catchers as well.
Without Minshew. Yeah. Maybe that's not great. What's the tight end queue look like?
Tight end is getting pretty depleted.
Oh, we gotta take Everett.
Yeah, so we are down to two tight ends. Running back situation's pretty damn good. We probably want to fill out with a couple more wide receiver dart throws, but yeah, a third tight end would be good as well.
I think optimal filling out of your roster in this format is three quarterbacks, three tight ends, six running backs, seven wide receivers, or eight wide receivers.
We got the Hassan stamp of approval. He's digging the squad.
Dude, I'm just mad at Hassan ever since he told me that taking Blake Jarwin in the Football Guys Players Championship was bad, because he just doesn't understand.
Hassan is all about tough love. You know, he will build you up when you did good, and he will also tell you when you fucked up, and we need that in our lives.
I will say, one of the things I love about the fact that these are 10 teams and there's only 200 players goes is every time you leave a draft, you're like, dude, I freaking crushed it. Look at these triple stacks. I got Mahomes. I got Kelsey. Like, this is the team that's going to win the 10K. Like, it is – that is a great thing about this format for sure.
It makes me think of – I should do as a bit like a screenshot victory laps from 10-team home league drafts of just like, look at what I came out with of this.
that's a good bit. That's a good bit. Would tune in. There we go. We get our boy.
Okay, Everett. See, this is good because I like Everett. You like Everett, and Pat doesn't. So when I'm away from Pat, I can draft all of these players.
What is there to not like about Everett? Like theoretically, the opportunity is very similar for him relative to what it would be for Tyler Higbee.
Yep, I agree. But, you know, Pat is, I like to call him the recency bias king. He watches the last six games of the season and then nothing else happened.
Like, Gerald Everett has had productive scratches in his career.
What changes would you guys like to see in the next drafter's tourney? I think the price point's good. I would like a flatter payout structure and a shorter clock. What about you, Davis?
I mean, like 12 teams would be interesting. I think, like, I don't think that's like a huge sticking point, but that's something that people have said to me on Twitter. I would like a $1 tournament so I could just set my rankings and let it draft, you know, like I would be in on that. 'Cause then I could just draft like 150 teams and just kind of as a test of how my rankings do over the course of a season. I think that would be interesting.
Dude, how is there not, I know you can, you know, do it automatically off of a list, but how is there not a best ball optimizer where you could put in like some, a structural decision tree to fill out certain positional requirements?
Like Pio Solver, but for fantasy football.
That'd be pretty sick.
Yeah.
Burnzone says, do you hang your draft grid on your fridge? Also, of course, always, my entire fridge is filled with printed out Yahoo grades. Why is it 10 when other drafters' best balls are 12? My guess is they were just trying to...
Stressing about it filling.
Yeah, stressing and being able to get as many of these drafts going as possible. All right, Davis, I believe we want a wide receiver here. I don't mind Perriman.
You don't want to get a sixth running back?
None of these guys are looking.
If you scroll a little bit there, sometimes there's like a hidden group of guys, but yeah, Mike Boone, maybe Justin Jackson or James Washington would be my preferred.
Yeah. I think we can wait on those guys. I mean, to me, I think Perriman and Lazard are good, deep flyers. Do you have a lean on one of them?
I would take Perriman just cause I like Lazard could just not play anymore.
Yeah, I don't Lazard mind.
Lazard could lose snaps to Josiah DeGuerra.
That's true.
There have been Packers fans in my mentions, by the way, who swear Equanimeous St. Brown is going to be that guy this year and not Lazard.
Really?
Forgot Equanimeous St. Brown even existed.
I thought Rodgers canceled ESB. Is everyone
no, Rodgers? Rodgers canceled MVS.
Okay, well, it's hard to keep track of. He's canceled a lot of wide receivers.
I mean, MVS, like, all he ever did was just bail Aaron's ass out every time he was on the field, and then he Aaron Rodgers overthrew him once, and, like, that was it.
God, this is the best question I've ever heard. Yes, I'm still selling man's coins. DM me. I need to get rid of these things. Yes.
Why have you never sent me a man's coin?
I haven't. I'll rectify that. Set DM me your address and I'll send it in this next batch. Okay, so we're down to the final two picks here. So positionally, I think we're what? One wide receiver and one running back?
Yeah.
So that would get us up to 8 wide receivers. It would get us up to 6 running backs, 3 QBs, and 3 tight ends. That seems about right.
Yeah. I would be on board with that.
So sorry, say again, you were talking about the running backs that you like.
I just said the guy I liked. Now I forget it.
Did you say Justin?
Should we take Laird for the brand?
Probably.
Yeah. Let's take Laird and James Washington.
I think my highest owned player across all formats of fantasy football is Laird, followed by Chenault. I think those are the two guys I own the most.
Combination of redraft and dynasty. It's got to be Hardman, I think.
For you, yeah.
Because I just was like, once he got drafted by the Chiefs last year, and you know the rookie class last year before the season started didn't look like it was like super super strong. So I had a bunch of like back end of the first round picks where I just was taking a bunch of Hardman.
Yeah. You know, my thing about Hardman, you know, he's a tough guy to draft in managed leagues, but I love him in best ball.
In best ball, dude. Oh, I mean, like, here's the thing. For most players, people say that and it's not true. For Hardman, it is absolutely true. Like, you know he's going to have 800 yards and 6 touchdowns, and you just have no idea when they're coming.
It's true. Patty Mahomes is going to make it happen.
Could Mahomes throw for 6,000 yards?
Sure.
What's the per game average of that?
I don't know. I believe it. Okay. What do you see here? Do you want to double stack Tannehill with Corey Davis? Is there a running back you like here? I'm on the.
I mean, you know, I will double stack.
Okay. Should we get that double stack? Let's just keep it rolling.
Yeah, dude, let's just do it. Let's just who cares? What's the actual difference between James Washington and Corey Davis? Like, not that much.
375 a game. That is completely plausible.
Like, dude, he could, like, if they were just like, we are not running on first down, we don't care. All we care about is scoring points, and they didn't let up when they were beating teams. It is completely doable.
There you go.
What odds do you think, if I tweet this out, what odds do you think someone on Twitter would give me of him doing it in his career?
Oh, man. I would just say avoid that, because you're going to just find yourself into some bad back and forth with some like DFS player that has 4,000 followers that is going to argue with you.
And he's going to be like, all right, I'll give you even money for his whole career. And if you don't accept it, you're a bitch.
All right, let's check in on some of these teams here. Pat took Ayuk and Lazard, his consolation prize after missing out on Chenault. Eno Benjamin. Oh, he did get Gibson. I think, did we miss? Man.
We did, but he went early. He went early.
Oh, you're right. No, he went 2 picks before us, because we would have taken Gibson over Henderson.
Yeah, that's another. Gibson, by the way, is like another. Who drafted him? Did Pat draft him?
Yeah.
So that's like one where you have to know this, the way this app works, because he's hidden down there too. Like Chenault, you have to scroll to get to him. So like his like ADP is 150, but he's listed after this group of guys with a zero ADP: Wes Hills, Mike Boone. So it's a secret pick. Yeah, let's take Laird though.
Let's do it. The final pick. Laird and Xavier. This is a little uncharacteristic. We're also handcuffing 2 sets of our running backs, but we got to do it for the squad, for the brand.
I mean, Laird scored the 6 most fantasy points of any rookie running back last year, bro.
Never forget
it.
Yeah.
Shout out, brother Blair.
He had the 2nd most receiving yards of any rookie running back. Shout out PFF for tweeting that out the other day. Davis, give us the final rundown on this team here, now that you see it in its full.
In my opinion, this is a good team. This is following the exact structure of what you should be wanting to do. You should want to start with a running back. You should want to stack all of your quarterbacks. Probably you should want to double stack all of them. I think, did we get double stack all 3?
So we got Corey Davis and AJ Brown. We have Slayton and Evan Ingram, and we have Hardman and Kelsey. Yep.
I mean, so that's textbook. That's by the book. Exactly what you want to be doing in a tournament where all that we care about is getting first place. And we even got Miles Sanders in the 2nd round. You know, thought we would be kind of dusted off at running back, starting there with a tight end, but getting Miles Sanders is pretty big.
There you go, guys. I know it's a Sunday, but school has been in session, learning from 2 of the best ball greats, myself and Davis Maddock. I think I'm going to keep doing one of these streams a day until this thing fills. So I'm sure I will fire this up
like Monday.
So yeah, we'll see you tomorrow. Davis, thank you for coming on.
Beautiful, man. Thanks for having me.
Enjoy your Sunday, guys.
I'm Alec Baldwin. Listen to my podcast, Here's the Thing, on iHeartRadio. It's my chance to talk with artists, policymakers, and performers.
I always like to say I like being an actress, but I love being Kristen. So I've prioritized that a little bit more than my like desire to spread my wings or prove to people that I can be some dramatic actress.
If you like listening as much as I like talking with interesting people, go to heresthething.org and subscribe now on the iHeart app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.